Layer 744. More letters. Memorandum. Franklin Roosevelt to Admiral Ernest King, July 7, 1942. Roosevelt's self-assurance in his role as Commander-in-Chief is evident in this July 1942 memo to Chief of Naval Operations Ernest King, forwarding King a report about U-boat attacks off America's coast. FDR expresses impatience with the Navy's unconscionable delays in establishing an effective convoy system for supply ships in U.S. coastal waters. "We must speed things up," he orders King. Memorandum, General George C. Marshall to General Dwight D. Eisenhower, August 28, 1942. FDR's focus and decisiveness is clear in this memo, in which General Marshall summarizes a recent meeting with the President. Marshall served as Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army. Eisenhower had recently been named leader of the Allied invasion of North Africa, the invasion which Roosevelt had insisted upon over the objection of some of his military commanders, took place in November 1942. About 2 feet further to your left is a panel on your right with the following text: Leading Generals and Admirals. Planning of major operations was always done in close cooperation with the President. Frequently, we had sessions in his study. Churchill and Roosevelt really ran the war. We were just artisans, building patterns of strategy from the rough blueprints handed to us by our respective commanders-in-chief. Admiral William D. Leahy, I was there, 1950. FDR appointed and commanded an extraordinary group of military leaders during World War II. Their names, including George Marshall, Dwight Eisenhower, Chester Nimitz, Ernest King, Hap Arnold, and Douglas MacArthur, are still remembered by Americans. A confident commander-in-chief, Roosevelt moved aggressively to centralize strategy and high command in the White House. He devised the Joint Chiefs of Staff in 1942 to advise him. Together, he and his lieutenants virtually created the modern American military. The armed services grew from just 334,473 active-duty personnel in 1939 to 12,123,455 in 1945. The Army and Navy modernized and expanded, and with FDR's endorsement, American air power increased dramatically. The President also supported new agencies like the Office of Strategic Services, precursor to the CIA, and the Office of Scientific Research and Development, which included the Manhattan Project that developed the atomic bomb. Above the panel on the wall is a 6-foot-wide photograph of FDR sitting with General Douglas MacArthur and Admiral Chester Nimitz during a 1944 visit to Hawaii. To the left is another plexiglass case with a telegram from Churchill to FDR, saying that, "Our friendship is the rock on which I build for the future of the world." And a draft telegram from Roosevelt to Churchill 3 days after the start of the Allied invasion of North Africa, reviewing next steps. Walk another 3 feet to your left, and on your right is a panel entitled Roosevelt and Churchill. The text tells us, "It is fun to be in the same decade with you." Franklin Roosevelt to Winston Churchill, January 1942. The friendship between Franklin Roosevelt and Winston Churchill formed the core of the Anglo-American alliance during World War II. On September 11, 1939, 10 days after Germany invaded Poland, FDR wrote a confidential letter to Churchill, who had just entered the British cabinet as First Lord of the Admiralty. Roosevelt wanted to open a direct line of communication with him. He encouraged Churchill to keep me in touch personally with anything you want me to know about. FDR's note was the start of an extraordinary 6-year correspondence between the two men that totaled almost 2,000 messages. Between 1941 and 1945, they would also spend 113 days together, beginning with an August 1941 meeting in the North Atlantic and ending at the Yalta Conference in February 1945. Above this panel, on the wall, is another 6 feet wide photograph of a smiling Roosevelt and Churchill at the Casablanca Conference in 1943. Walk another 2 feet to your left, and on your right is a plexiglass case featuring a note detailing progress on tube alloys, a code name for the atomic bomb project, and a letter from Albert Einstein to FDR outlining the concerns of physicists that Germany was developing a uranium-based bomb. This memo led to the establishment of the Manhattan Project. Walk about another 3 feet to your left to a panel on your right entitled The Atomic Bomb, hanging in front of a 6 feet wide black and white photograph of the world's first nuclear explosion at Los Alamos, New Mexico, July 16, 1945. Panel text reads, "It may become possible to set up a nuclear chain reaction in a large mass of uranium by which vast amounts of power would be generated." Albert Einstein to Franklin Roosevelt. On October 11, 1939, FDR received a letter from Albert Einstein. In it, the distinguished physicist described the potential for an atomic weapon and warned that nuclear research was underway in Germany. Roosevelt responded by forming a scientific committee to study whether a nuclear weapon was feasible. Later, he established the Manhattan Project, a top-secret effort to build an atomic bomb. At a 1944 conference in Hyde Park, FDR and Churchill agreed to keep the bomb project secret from Soviet leader Stalin. But Russian spies were keeping Stalin informed about its progress. FDR was prepared to use atomic weapons against both Germany and Japan. But a bomb was not ready for testing until after his death and Germany's surrender. In August 1945, President Harry Truman authorized the use of atomic bombs on two Japanese cities. A smaller black text panel to the left continues, "Bombing civilians. The decision to develop atomic weapons is part of a larger issue Americans grappled with during World War II, the bombing of civilians. During the war's early years, Germany and Japan shocked the world when they bombed cities, killing thousands of civilians. Britain responded in kind. But when America entered the war, it opposed such indiscriminate bombing. American bombers accepted greater risks to bomb during the day, trying to pinpoint military targets and avoid civilian casualties, though such efforts proved unsuccessful. But as the war dragged on, attitudes changed. Moral opposition to bombing urban areas gave way to a grim strategic conclusion that such actions were necessary to maximize the impact of bombing and win the war more quickly by demoralizing the enemy. By 1944, American bombers were making devastating firebomb raids on Japanese and German cities. A single raid on Tokyo in March 1945 killed nearly 100,000 men, women, and children. Now move about 3 feet to your left to an exhibit on your right at about waist height on an angled ledge that protrudes from the wall about 12 inches. You'll now be automatically redirected back to wherever you left off in the base message.